morning. Welcome to the PGG Wrightson results briefing for the 12 months ending 30 June 2016. I understand that we are competing right now against the final of the sevens in Rio, New Zealand playing Australia in the women's game. I'm surprised we've got so many people on the line, given the alternative that's out there right now. But anyway, thank you all for joining, and what a year, good year for us. So I'm Mark Judney, I'm the CEO of PGG Wrightson, and it's my pleasure today to provide an overview of our results for the last year. With me on the call is Peter Scott, our CFO, and Julian Daly, our Company Secretary. I plan to talk for about 15 minutes, and then there will be time for questions at the end. So what I'll cover today are the excellent financial results that we have posted for last year, the key themes that we see in our markets and across our customers that have led to these results, and then finally our thinking on how 2017 is shaping up. But before I start, I'd just again, as always, recap that the key points of our announcement to the market earlier today, and I would like to remind you that we use operating EBITDA as a key measure of performance within the business. This, as you will know, is a non-GAAP accounting measure, and I would therefore refer you to our full accounts for details of how this relates through to our net profit measures. So the key financial highlights for the financial year 2016 were our operating EBITDA was 70.2 million. That was up from 69.6 million in the previous financial year. And whilst that increase in earnings of just over $500,000 may not seem a lot, the increase was achieved during a much tougher market environment, and I'm absolutely delighted by this result, and I'll come back to this in a moment. Net profit after tax was 39.6 million, up from 32.8 million last year. And this brings our earnings per share up to 5.2 cents. And finally, we've announced a final dividend of 2 cents per share, which brings the full-year dividend to 3.75 cents per share, fully imputed. We consider this to be an outstanding result for PGW. If I can take you back to this time last year, I had just announced a large increase in earnings, but warned of tightening market conditions, particularly with respect to dairy. I said at the time that beating the impressive 2015 result would be a stretch target. Whilst it was possible, we didn't think that it was likely at the time. And I'm thrilled to be able to say today that we beat that stretch target. We take satisfaction from this performance because it hasn't been achieved because agriculture is booming. It's not. Overall farmgate revenues in New Zealand are down this year. This result isn't due to growth in our markets. Farmer spending is down this year. This result is because our people have helped our clients to improve the productivity of their farms, and that is especially satisfying as that has been our strategic focus and something that we have strived for across our business for a number of years now. I'm extremely proud of what we as a company have achieved over recent years. We've shown that we can grow earnings in the good times, such as 2014, and we've shown that we can grow earnings in the tough times, such as 2016. I think we've shown that we can take some of the volatility that exists in agriculture out in our earnings. I believe that we've got the most engaged team of people in the market, and their commitment and their passion for agriculture is taking our company to new levels. We're also showing the benefit of having a diverse exposure within agriculture. Whilst New Zealand dairy and South America have had extremely tough years, for example, horticulture in New Zealand has continued to grow strongly. So I'll comment on some of these sectors briefly as we turn our focus onto our key business units. Now, I'll start off this year with seed and grain. Our seed and grain business overcame an extremely tough environment in 2016 to grow their earnings by 10%. Operating EBITDA was up 4.1 million in 2016 to 44.6 million. This is an outstanding result given the reduced dairy spend in New Zealand and the combination of low commodity prices and flooding in Uruguay. The main contributor to this increase in operating EBITDA was Australia, with New Zealand seeds and New Zealand exports also beating last year's earnings. South America finished 2016 a little over $1 million behind 2015's operating EBITDA. And you may recall that at the half year point, South America was tracking approximately $1.7 million behind. So it is good that they have been able to make up some of the lost ground over the second half of the year. Low commodity prices continued to provide a headwind for demand in Uruguay, and then, as you know, in April, severe flooding throughout the region washed away hopes of a full recovery in EBITDA this year. The uplift in New Zealand seeds was predominantly in fodder beet. It was a difficult autumn season in New Zealand, with the low dairy payout reducing discretionary spend, particularly with respect to undersowing and the planting of multi-seasonal pastures. Grain trading volumes and earnings were also down slightly from last year on the back of reduced demand for supplementary feed from the dairy sector. On the other hand, our seed export business had a strong finish to the year, driven by new product marketing campaigns in Chile, the USA, and South Africa. A really strong performer in the seed and grain business this year was Australia. After several tough years during the 2012 to 2014 financial years, it's fantastic to see that the efforts we've put into refocusing our operations in Australia are paying off. Forage seed sales to the sheep and beef market segments performed strongly on the back of good commodity prices and favourable seasonal conditions. Depressed or falling Australian dairy prices late in the year had little impact on the main autumn selling season. So if I turn now to our rural services businesses, and I'll start with retail. Our retail business, which includes rural supplies, fruit fed supplies, and agri-trade, continued to trade strongly. At the top line, revenues fell 3% as sales into the strong beef and horticultural sectors couldn't make up for the reduced dairy spend. However, the nature of dairy farming means that the dairy spend tends to be more skewed towards higher dollar figure but lower margin commodity products, for example, shed chemical, stock feed, palm kernel. And as a result of this shift in our sales mix, margins increased over the year and operating EBITDA increased by $1.8 million to $29.2 million. That's a 7% increase. We've also worked hard to win market share in the categories that matter most to the bottom line. I've talked in the past about the hard work we've put into developing our technical expertise, our customer service skills, and logistics systems, and how this is delivering positive results. And this work continues. What's really exciting is that we are now seeing the momentum that these improvements are generating. The positive culture we have fostered has seen teams working together better than ever across PGW to support our customers. And as a result of that, we're seeing ideas grow and flourish. This positive culture has seen our teams become more flexible to change and able to adapt to meet the needs of our dynamic and constantly changing markets. As you might expect, our fruit-fed business within retail has had another great year. Horticulture is doing very well in New Zealand, and our fruit-fed team are the clear market leaders for inputs into this sector. Moving to livestock, the livestock business had a very strong finish to the year to end up just 200,000 short of last year's result. Operating EBITDA this year was $15.2 million. Our domestic auction and agency businesses had very solid years. Dairy tallies and prices were down a little bit, as were sheep prices, but this was offset by the buoyant market for beef. We also made good progress growing a new dairy grazing business and our new range of livestock fattening products, which we call Go Lamb and Go Beef. In aggregate, these parts of our livestock business grew their earnings year on year. Those gains, however, were offset by the tough year we had in our live export business. It reduced international demand, or almost zero international demand for dairy heifers, has made the trading environment extremely competitive and very difficult to get deals away. And that largely explains the $13.6 million drop in revenue for the livestock business year on year. Turning now to our other rural services businesses. Collectively, operating EBITDA decreased by $3.2 million from $11.8 million to $8.6 million. It should come as no surprise that this reduction in earnings was mainly in our water business, which is the PGW business that has been the most affected by the dairy downturn. Fewer dairy conversions mean less demand for new pivot irrigators. 2016 was a tough year for our water team, and whilst there is some sign of demand returning, it is still below the levels we've achieved in recent years. On a brighter note, wool had another solid year, with earnings in line with last year. Higher wool prices led to higher revenues from our wool exports, but this has little direct effect on operating EBITDA. Our real estate business has had a great year. We sold more property in the 2016 year than in any other since the global financial crisis. While the dairy farm market is still slow, the lifestyle, residential and horticultural markets are strong, and these drove this year's great real estate result. So on to net profit now. The increase in operating EBITDA contributed to an increased net profit after tax of $39.6 million, up $6.8 million year on year, which is a 21% improvement. And this means that earnings per share have increased by almost a cent to 5.2 cents per share. The biggest change year on year was in our tax expense. A variety of factors made last year's effective tax rate higher than you might expect. For example, last year the provision we booked to cover the Commerce Commission investigation was not tax deductible. This year, the opposite is true, with a variety of factors lowering our effective tax rate. For example, this year non-operating items include some non-taxable capital gains on the properties we've sold over the year. Tax expense can be a volatile number in a business as complex as ours. Over the long run, we expect the effective tax rate to head back towards the corporate tax rate, but in the short term, it will probably continue to be lower than that as we work through some of the deferred tax assets that remain on our balance sheet. Cash flow now. Operating cash flow was $35.2 million, which was up $6 million from 2015. This result essentially was a result of the higher net profit after tax that was recorded in the period. Moving to the balance sheet, our balance sheet remains strong. Net debt levels were a touch higher over the 2016 financial year to close at $127 million, up from $120 million the year before. We've had a big year of investment. Many of the projects we've talked about for the last 12 months and more now all but completed. For example, our investment in AgriCentro Uruguay gives our retail footprint a significant boost in that country. We've also built new state-of-the-art offices and a logistics centre in Montevideo that provides the platform for future volume growth in the region. In Gisborne, we've redeveloped our seed facility to increase our capacity for processing maize for the domestic market and sweet corn multiplications for the international market. We've also made a number of smaller bolt-on acquisitions in New Zealand and Australia, and we continue to invest in IT and our digital capabilities. In addition to that, we've opened new premises in Blenheim for our retail and fruit fed business, and in Rangiora and Christchurch for our water business. Both of those investments designed to set us up for long-term future growth options. In aggregate, we've spent $44 million over the year on these strategic assets. Rather than increase debt in the current environment, we've been working through a property sale program. Over the year, we've realised $20 million from selling mostly retail premises and leasing them back from the new owners. We've also received cash from the sale of one of the assets in BioPacific Ventures, which is a food and agriculture venture capital fund that we invested in back in 2005. Looking forward, 2017 will be another busy year of reallocating capital, though not as busy as 2016. With the bulk of the reallocation now behind us, our focus naturally shifts from making new investments to optimising the returns on the strategic portfolio of assets that we now have. That said, though, we're still open to new investments, new acquisitions, where the long-term fit with our group strategy makes sense. Moving to the dividend, the board has resolved to declare a fully imputed final dividend of 2 cents per share, which takes the total dividend paid for the 2016 financial year up to 3.75 cents per share, fully imputed. When considering the dividend, our board balanced our outstanding financial results, given the market conditions, and the potential for further earnings growth against a strong pipeline of potential investments within an agricultural environment that is experiencing a relatively high degree of volatility. The board also noted that the current dividend continues to place PGW among the leading stocks for yield on the NZX. Let me just talk briefly now about our group strategy. In 2013, we put out our current strategy and we talked to our staff and the market about our group strategic plans. I know our staff and broader stakeholders have been receptive to the simple themes and initiatives outlined in that plan, and we've made good progress in implementing many of the imperatives identified in the plan, while also continuing to evolve our thinking as our business and market has changed over the past 3 years. In recent months, we've gone back and we've undertaken a significant piece of work to re-examine the macro drivers and economic forces that are in play in the various markets in which we operate. Very soon, we're going to launch our strategy refresh to our business and also to our broader stakeholder community. This process has assisted us in retesting our thinking and our assumptions, and in many cases, revalidating our market perspectives. While we see a number of significant opportunities and changes ahead for PGW, it's pleasing that our strategic execution has been achieving results and that the thrust of this piece of work is largely an evolution of the themes that we identified in 2013. We'll talk a bit more about that at our annual shareholder meeting in October. So look, the outlook, which I know everyone is interested in, our 2016 performance was another outstanding result, particularly in light of the tough trading conditions we've faced. Looking across our key markets, I can see more challenges ahead. Dairy in New Zealand continues to face challenging market conditions, with many farmers in the sector facing their third season of cash flow losses. So I don't see dairy spending increasing in the 2017 financial year. International beef price indicators are currently 10 to 30% lower than they were at this time last year. So whilst the beef sector is still enjoying a period of higher profitability, it is difficult to see this sector spending more in 2017 than they did in 2016. And the outlook for sheep and wool is constrained by lower expected lambing numbers. We do expect horticulture to continue to grow given the recent investments that have been made in increasing production throughout that sector. South America remains difficult to call. While they have had a small bounce in their commodity prices, the longer-term effects of the April flooding on farmer confidence and demand remain to be seen. And finally, we get some early indicators of potential drought conditions given the extended dry periods that have been experienced in Canterbury and elsewhere. You know, that said, we were thinking similar last year, and weather can be extremely hard to predict in agriculture. But if I put it all together, I think 2017 is going to be an even tougher trading market environment than 2016 has been. That's the external view, but on the other hand, we have so many opportunities in our core business yet to realise, and I do think there is some potential for some upside from our current projections in the market conditions that I've just mentioned. Our strategy of improving our business, growing our business, and implementing game changers will continue to provide benefits next year and into the future. However, it's too early to tell how these opposing external versus internal forces are going to play out in 2017. So, as I said last year, and I think repeating this year's operating EBITDA will be a stretch target in the current market, but we are going to give it our absolutely best shot. As is our custom, it is our intention to provide more information on our progress, including an earnings forecast at the time of the annual shareholder meeting, which is scheduled for late October. So this concludes our presentation. Very shortly, I'll hand the line back to the operator so that they can introduce your questions. Before I do that, though, I would like to sincerely thank all of our staff and all of our customers for their continuing support. This has been a marvellous result in a tough year, and it's been my absolute privilege to talk to you all about it today. Thank you very much. Operator, back to you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Once again, to ask a question, you'll need to press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your first question comes from the line of James Beskin from Foresight Perth. Please ask your question.
Thanks very much, Mark, and the team for that that presentation. Just a couple of questions from me to kick off. Thinking about debt levels, can you talk about what your view around a comfortable level of debt would be, and also to your bank facilities currently?
Yeah, so we sort of see two to two and a half times operating EBITDA to debt as the middle of the range band that we would tend to target. We'd be comfortable to go to the top of that band or slightly above it if we had significant acquisition or investment that we had confidence would be earnings accretive and cash flow accretive quite quickly. There are times when we would prefer to trade toward the bottom of that range, and we're comfortable being in the lower end of that range today. Our banking facilities are very strong. We've got very good relationships with our syndicate of bankers, and we enjoy what we believe to be very good pricing and covenant conditions, which we take advantage of by ensuring that we keep our balance sheet strong.
Just to further that one, Mark, what's your headroom currently?
Peter, can you?
James, it's Peter here. We've got quite a lot of headroom in the New Zealand facility. And one thing I was going to just say as you were asking that question was that, we have a lot of seasonality in terms of our debts. So in September, October, November, we start to push them up. But at $127 million, we've got a lot of headroom there.
Okay, thanks, guys. And just secondly, from a margin perspective, Mark, I think you did quite well at talking around why the retail margins shifted higher. From a livestock and seed and grain perspective, there's obviously some momentum in EBITDA margins. Can you talk about whether there was some cost out involved there, or whether that's a shift from the consumer towards more proprietary product, or if it's cross-selling benefiting the margins there?
I think so. In the seed and grain business in New Zealand, which is the major part of that business, there was a move towards brassicas out of some of the annual grasses into fodder beet. And those products have a much higher technical element to them and tend to have slightly higher margins than traditional grasses. In Australia, there was a slight skew towards proprietaries, which come at higher margin. Across livestock, I don't think there are any material changes down there other than the fact that we didn't have an export shipment, which we had the year prior. Your question about cost out, certainly we were able to reduce our group operating costs from where we expected at the start of the year. We have a number of initiatives actively in place through the organization. James, we run all of those internally. We don't bring consultants in to help us with them, and we sort of keep them internal and just quietly get on with the business. But, you know, we've continued to employ people in technical roles and customer-facing roles, but we're always looking for, you know, efficiencies in our fixed cost base and through our, you know, logistics and support areas.
Thanks, Mark. And just one more question from me around the dividend and I guess payout ratio. If I normalize for the tax benefits that you've received this year, I calculate a rough payout ratio of around 80%. Is that indicative of what you might think about going forward, or is that probably low given what we've seen historically?
We don't have a ratio, as you know. What we do is we look at our earnings within the year, we look at our cash, we look forward at the prospects for the next year, both from an earnings and an investment perspective. I think we've built a track record now of stable dividends, and so I would expect that we would continue to, you know, look to reward shareholders well based on, you know, continuing to have strong earnings. So, but to your base question, we don't have a payout ratio, and I'm not signalling that next year's dividends will be higher or lower. But I take you back to the yield, which is I think still very attractive by any listed share measure. And I think the other thing, James, is I think what we're proving is that we can deliver earnings stability over the cycles. And I know that a lot of people, you know, questioned our ability to do that a few years ago.
Yeah, thanks very much. I appreciate that, Mark. That's all from me.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you'll need to press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from the line of KU Yao from First NZ Capital. Please ask your question.
Thank you. Morning, Mark, Peter and Julian. Congratulations on an incredible result, given the environment that you had to work with. I've got a bunch of questions. The first two really is in relation to CapEx going forward into FY17. What is sort of the number that you're shooting for? And then in the context of the quality of receivables, just trying to get a sense of how the 90-day overdues are tracking at this point.
Sure. In terms of CapEx, not as heavy a year in F17 as we've had in the last two. We've got through most of our major building programs. We're starting to divert more CapEx spend toward the technology end of our business. We're undertaking a large investment at the moment in retail point of sale systems, you know, online capabilities to support our retail and water business. We've got a range of, you know, property upgrades, but not to the same level as last year. I would expect that we will continue to invest CapEx at above, you know, depreciation or maintenance levels, but certainly not as much as we have spent in the last year. We've still got some property assets to divest as part of our structured program, and I would think that the asset divestment plus depreciation will more than cover the CapEx for the next 12 months. To your question on our debtors book, we've, you know, contrary to expectation, I think, and contrary to what we felt internally, we haven't seen any real deterioration in the aging or quality of our debtor book over the year. You know, we tend to track around about sort of 8 to 10%, 7 to 10% overdue at the end of any month in New Zealand, which is where the bulk of our debtors are. And at year end, we didn't see that any different than we did at the end of the prior year. So that's been very pleasing. We run a very structured credit committee and credit management processes. We're very close to our clients. I think in the annual report financials, you will see the aging of the debtor book, and it's, you know, the extended aging is very similar to the levels from last year.
Right. Just a follow up on that, Mark, in relation to then your net working capital position, just as receivables against payables. There's been a net $5 million increase compared to this time last year. Just trying to get a sense of whether that is a timing issue in terms of cash burn, or whether it's something that's specific to one or two major receivables.
No, it's essentially timing, KU.
Okay, thank you. A follow-up question around the assets that you've divested and ones that you're about to divest. In total, how much would that cost you in terms of lease payment going forward that is not in this year's earnings in terms of a lease expense?
Yeah, so I'll get Peter to take that question. We've sold about $20 million of property. Yeah, and we've sold it on lease rates between kind of 7 and 10% broadly. And so if you take the difference between that and our cost of funds, which might be sort of 4 to 5%, that's your difference.
Okay. Yep. That's great. Finally, just I missed the commentary earlier on that James might have asked around some of your internal initiatives. Can you outline in sort of broad terms the nature of these initiatives that you referred to, Mark, that may help offset some of the external pressures that you talked about earlier on?
We're putting quite a lot of work into price analytics. Looking for the right price points in our retail business, and that subtly helps to lift margin. We are looking at our organisational structure in parts. We've recently announced a reconfiguration of our regional management structure. We've gone from 12 regions in New Zealand down to 4. So we're just creating, a smaller number of bigger regions. We are in the process at the moment of merging our water business and retail business together under the leadership of Stephen Gurin. So we're creating a retail and water group, and we see a number of opportunities for retail and water to work more closely together. We have a wholesaling business in retail, which is AgriTrade, as you know. We have wholesale businesses in water, and we believe that there are some, logistics and distribution efficiencies there, potentially, again, some cross-selling opportunities. And then we just continuously look for ways to improve internal efficiency, just as every organisation is. But we try to do it without a lot of fanfare. I guess that's the modus operandi inside our company.
That's great. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Alan Williams from New Zealand Farmers Weekly. Please ask your question.
Hi, Mark. Pacific Bio Ventures, Mark, you referred to the increase in value there and the capital return. Is there more to come from this, and could you give us some highlights of the program and just describe how successful you think it's been over the 10 or 12 years or so?
So, Alan, BioPacific Ventures was established back in the early 2000s. PGW invested in it very soon after the creation of the company back in 2005. You know, I think we were the major shareholder in the fund, major individual shareholder. We invested about $12 or $13 million in it over in total. It's got it's had a number of companies, early phase startups, some mature companies. One of them was New Zealand Pharmaceuticals, and New Zealand Pharmaceuticals was sold in the last sort of 3 to 6 months, and that the proceeds from that sale have been returned to the investors in BioPacific Ventures. There's a couple of businesses left in there. One of them is New Zealand King Salmon. It's a very passive investment for us. We put no management time into it. It's certainly not a strategic investment for us. It's one of those things that flows back to our earlier days, and we won't invest more in there, and we'll sell out as the opportunity allows us to.
Will you get more than you put into it, Mark, do you think, over that time?
Hard to tell, Alan, until the whole thing is wound up. We don't control that, but we wouldn't invest in those sort of things again.
Okay.
There are no further questions at this time. I would like to hand the call back to your speakers. Please continue.
Okay, I think that covers everything. Again, thank you for joining the call today. Thank you for your continued interest in PGW. We're very happy with the results that we've achieved this year, and we think that they will stack up well, relative to other results that are announced from the agricultural sector. As always, we're just going to continue to try our best to beat this result next year. So thank you very much. See you. Bye-bye.